Wakey, wakey, Patterson. Wakey, wakey. Come on. Hey, rise and shine.
Yes, all right. Victor, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here? I live here. That's what I'm doing here. This is my house.
All right, what am I doing here?
Oh, you haven't forgotten, have you? Coming here and waking me up at 1 a.m. because you'd left Jane?
I left Jane? I left my wife?
That's right, Patterson. You're a free man now, free and separately taxed. You can do what you like, you can live how you like. Now get up off my couch and make me some breakfast.
We present episode 4 of Patterson, a comedy series in 8 parts by Malcolm Bradbury and Christopher Bigsby.
Well, that's not bad at all, Patterson. You burn a nice piece of toast, you know. Ooh, the coffee's good, too. Who cares that most people I know you was hot water? Well, welcome, comrade. Welcome to bachelorhood.
Is that what I am now?
Well, don't look so sad. You've been wanting it for weeks, haven't you? Chance to write your book. Chance to live a little.
Yeah.
It's not so terrible. People do it all the time. I was married once and I resigned. I remember it distinctly. She had a Birmingham accent you could make cars out of.
Victor, tell me, how did you feel when you left Margaret's? I mean, did you miss her at all?
Oh, absolutely. I'd forgotten it was possible to tell a story without somebody saying, no, it wasn't a Tuesday, it was a Wednesday. I mean, for the first time in years, I could drive to a party without her reading all the road signs out loud. School crossing, give way, now overtaking.
I think I'll go back and grovel. I come from a long line of grovellers. My ancestor was chief groveller to George III.
Oh, you can't do that, man. Have some resolution. Somebody's got to stand up for the principles of child abuse and desertion. Don't you know this is your great opportunity?
My God, Victor. What happens if she goes off with someone?
Jane? Oh, I don't think she's the type. It wouldn't touch me.
Oh, you tried, did you?
Well, not hard, Patterson. But anyway, who is there?
We all know Mr. Cuthbertson's been breathing organically down her neck ever since we came here. They go to yoga class together, you know.
Oh, come on. What can you win her over with? Post-data library books? Give her a load of chemical-free compost? Oh, I shouldn't worry. I don't think he, well, you know, has it in him. In any case, Jane's got taste. Though she did marry you, didn't she? Anyway, what precipitated this great crisis? Case of wife battering?
No, she didn't lay a finger on me. I took your advice, Victor. I had dinner, a deux, as they say, with Melissa Murgatroyd.
Oh, did you now? Mm. A nice plate of fettuccine Alfredo, and then will you come into the bedroom and massage my shoulder?
I don't think Jane minded too much about the dinner. It was more the liqueurs after. She has this choosy attitude about who I lick.
Oh, a bit brutal of her to throw you out of the house, though, wasn't it? Doesn't sound like Jane.
No, Jane's not brutal. Jane is a deeply caring person. Her purse is stuffed with cards entitling perfect strangers to come up and claim bits of her for transplanting. Every time she trips on a curb, half a dozen surgeons start sharpening their knives. We're followed about everywhere by unmarked cars full of people in white coats.
Oh, maybe you should put me down on the list. How about a spleen?
I think that's still free.
If I was you, Patterson, I'd give freedom a chance for a bit. Take a few days and see what it's like. Right, now there's the breakfast needs washing up. Just try on this pinny for size, will you?
Pinny?
Well, freedom has its price as well, you know. How's the home cooking? Will you do the fried salami tonight?
Oh, Victor, just a moment. I've just remembered. Is it 9 o'clock?
Oh, damn nearly, yeah. Why, you've got a record coming up on Terry Wogan?
No, Victor, I'm in trouble again. By 9 o'clock, I'm supposed to have that lawnmower back to Misty.
Oh, is that what came trundling up the passage last night? It caused you a lot of trouble, that lawnmower, hasn't it?
He said he'd fire me if I didn't have it in the shed by 9. Goodbye, Victor.
Thanks.
Dr. Patterson.
Good morning, Mary.
You're early. You know, you look just as though you'd slept in your clothes.
It's the punk look. Is Professor Misty in? Can he see me?
How's the baby? The one with the blotches?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I expect my wife's got it in stain remover. Is he in there?
Oh, there's a note come from Mr. Cuthbertson in the library.
Yes?
He says you're a low-down swine.
Oh, fine.
I didn't open it.
Good.
Oh, and Professor Misty mentioned something about a lawnmower.
Yes, I want to see him about it.
Oh, there you are, Dr. Patterson. I am seeking in all quarters. I seek him here, I seek him there. I wish to bring you the present my father has sent just for you. He will really weep if you do not please accept it.
Oh, God, not now, Mr. Banerjee.
But for this morning, you promised me we'll talk about nothing.
Later, Mr. Banerjee. Is Professor Misty in there, Mary?
Yes, but he's tending his green fly.
What does he do? Feed it breadcrumbs? Look, I must see him, Mary.
Enter.
Morning, sir.
Oh, Patterson, what are you doing here? I'm afraid I'm rather busy at the moment. I've got green fly on my begonia. And what with that and my wife's excessive demand?
It won't take a moment, Professor Misty. I just wanted to say I've returned your lawnmower. I've left it in the car park by the sign saying Professor's cars only.
What lawnmower is that, Patterson?
What? The old green lawnmower I've been chasing for 2 days.
Really? I don't have a lawnmower. Borrowed one once from Professor Albert. But then that Welsh chap in the department went off with it, under a false name. Just remember to ask for it back sometime. Is that all?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry for interrupting your gardening.
Look, Patterson, don't go.
What?
Sit down for a bit, if you can find a... There's one.
Oh, thank you.
You know, Pat, it's an odd, solitary life.
Yes, it is, Professor Misty.
Being professor in charge of a major... It could come to you one day, you know, if you beaver away, write a lot, attack your rivals mercilessly. And people have heart attacks just when you need them. Of course, on the other hand, we might fire you next week. An odd, solitary life. As a huge stone is sometimes seen to lie couched on the bald top of an eminence, wonder to all who do the same aspire. I sometimes think I'm like that.
I can imagine, Professor Misty.
One separate, friendless. One does odd things. Talks to oneself. You don't really do. Yes, I do. You know, Pater, sometimes I sit down and ask myself, you know, the really fundamental questions. Why, I say, are we here? What, I ask, is it all for? To what end, I query, and whither? Is our duty on this earth where we are set as we are, I quiz, to advance human knowledge far beyond its existing boundaries, towards limitless horizons? Or is it rather, I speculate, to give the young, these strange loping youths with bad teeth who come to our classes, those moral truths that only literature can lay bare.
Really?
Yes, I often ask myself these things, Patterson. In the lavatory, mostly.
Crucial questions, Professor Misty. What conclusions have you come to?
Ah, well, conclusions. Actually, the phone usually rings at that point, as it always does when one sits for a time in the lavatory. You see? Hello, Mr. here, head of...
English.
Really? Oh, Vice-Chancellor, yes. Oddly enough, the fellow's with me at this moment, trying to sell me a lawnmower. I'll tell him when I get out of the lavatory. Odd coincidence, that. Vice-Chancellor really wanted you. Just to remind you, it's your inaugural lecture tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
And that there's no smoking.
No one told me. No, I haven't written it. I haven't even decided what it's on.
Well, there'll be posters up somewhere, they'll tell you. We did codge up a title. Lycidas, I think we called it. Sounded literary.
I haven't done any work on Lycidas.
Perhaps it's not, then. I don't know. All I know is that the Vice-Chancellor will be in the chair, and we expect a quite outstanding occasion. The audio-visual centre, a videotaping. So try and look clean. I see you've stopped shaving. A mistake, you know. Even James Joyce shaved. Well, quite an opportunity for you, isn't it? To succeed or fail, as the case may be. Like some coffee, Patterson?
Oh, yes, very much. Thank you.
There's a machine just along the corridor. You'll spot it on your way out.
Oh, hello, Patterson. Getting coffee? Be my guest. How'd you like it? Just warm water or warm water with sugar?
I need it, Victor. A black one, please.
Right. Oh, God, look at that. Bloody cup hasn't come down. You don't mind lapping it up from the tray, do you? No, look, come into my office. I've got a kettle and stuff in there.
Right.
I'm afraid the cup's a little bit dirty. I'm trying to come up with a rival to penicillin. So what's wrong?
Victor, do you realise my inaugural lecture is tomorrow night?
Oh, I just saw the posters. Lycidas, it said. I never knew you were a Milton man.
I'm not, Victor. I know sweet nothing at all about Milton. Bloody Misty just made up a title for me.
Oh, well, lecture to them on Hamlet, then. I don't suppose anyone would notice. Most of them will be scientists. They only come out at night. Funny lot, have huge eyes. They put out saucers of milk for them.
You don't have a Milton Lecter lying around somewhere, do you, Victor?
Oh, not my line at all, Patterson. I was always a Latin man.
Maybe I could be sick.
Yes, that would go down very well with Senis. I don't think anybody's ever thought of holding an inaugural vomit before.
Oh, why is it always me?
Some people have to be life's victims. Oh, by the way, sorry to hear about your other bad news.
Yes. My other bad news? Which other bad news is that?
You've not heard? Oh, well, far be it from me to be the bearer of sad tidings.
What sad tidings, Victor?
Yeah. Mind me knocking over my cactus. 5 years of selfless love went into that. It's the only thing that's ever been faithful to me.
Well, it goes straight through the window, Victor, unless you tell me what...
All right, then, Patterson, put it down, I'll tell you. Who's that strange fellow in the library, you know, grows his own enzymes? Cuthbert?
Cuthbertson? What about him?
Well, just that I gather that last night, after you moved out, he moved straight in.
That mincing herbal remedy moved in with Jane?
No, that's what they say.
That's what who say?
Look, Patterson, I don't like to give away...
Last message for your cactus?
Okay, then, Patterson, Amy Spade mentioned it.
Amy Spade? How does she know?
Oh, don't underestimate Amy. She does a lot of late-night research. Has to, for her anonymous letters. Information doesn't drop into her lap, you know. Nor does anybody else, either.
How did she know about Cuthbertson?
Well, just happened to be up a tree in your neighbourhood.
How did she know there was anything going on in my neighbourhood? Did you tell her, Victor?
Now, would I do that for a friend? You know me, Patterson. I stay away as far from Amy as possible. She's after my virginity. Nobody has to tell Amy anything. She just has a nose for trouble. Come in. Oh, hello, Amy. See what I mean?
Oh, there you are, Dr. Patterson. I had a kind of inner feeling I'd find you in here.
Did you? I gather you also had a kind of inner feeling you'd find Mr. Cuthbertson with my wife.
I am sorry about that. Walking in there, bold as brass, with his sleeping bag in one hand, his bowl of goldfish in the other.
Well, perhaps he just cracked a few jokes and then he went home again.
Oh, no, Dr. Patterson. I stayed up that tree most of the night. Luckily, I'd taken a flask of Ovaltine with me. Huh. He was still there when all the lights went out.
The macrobiotic creep.
He'll not get off scot-free, Dr. Patterson. He's already had one anonymous letter about it.
Oh, has he? Signed the Avenging Angel, was it?
Well, no, it was signed the Holy Scout, actually.
Really? Why the Holy Scout?
The newspapers it was cut from just happened to be the Catholic Herald and the Racing Gazette. But don't ask me. I don't know anything about it.
No, of course you don't, Amy.
Well, I'm very sorry about it, Dr. Patterson. I suppose this means you'll be moving in with Melissa.
Oh, does it? I think what it means is that I'm going straight over to the library to have a talk to that creep Cuthbertson.
Hey, Patterson, steady. Now, don't do anything violent.
Oh, hello, Dr. Patterson. Oh, at last, no. I have found you at a quiet moment. Please, I have one important question, very small, to ask you. I'm trying to understand English culture very well. I already have visited Marks and Spencer, you know.
Look, Mr. Banerjee, could we just leave it for a while? I'm just going over to the library now. I have to kill somebody.
Oh, Dr. Patterson, I'm lucky to have such an interesting tutor. Always you are so busy doing things for the university. I will wait here.
Or you could try somewhere else.
excuse me. Miss? I do realize how important the knit-yourself-a-bikini pattern in honey is to the work of the library, but I wonder if you could just look up and help me?
What is it, dear?
I'm looking for a Mr. Spencer Cuthbertson.
Have you looked for him in the catalogue?
Yes, but he's too big to fit in those little drawers. He's not a writer. I don't think he can even write. He's a member of your library staff.
Oh, Mr. Cuthbertson.
Ah, the librarian's encyclopedic memory now begins to swing smoothly into operation.
Him. The weedy one.
Yes, glasses stuck together with sticking plaster.
Oh, thank you. Shelving at the moment.
Not as steeply as he will shortly. Could you find him for me, please?
Oh, I don't like to disturb him.
Oh, who would? I expect he goes green and his shirt splits. It's very urgent.
All right. Who shall I say wants him?
Just say it's the Godfather.
Oh, Cecilia, I wonder if you could just check this book in the catalogue.
Oh,
it's Dr. Patterson.
What's the matter, Mr. Cuthbertson? Catalogue got your tongue?
His gent was just asking for you, Mr. Cuthbertson. He says he's your godfather.
Dr. Patterson, this is a library inquiry desk. We deal only with library inquiries, and this is about a recent accession, Mr. Cuthbertson. I believe you just added my wife to your collection.
Dr. Patterson, personal matters are not...
I had a few more inquiries. I should like to know if you intend to keep her in the stacks, or whether you'll be displaying her on the open shelves. Do you intend to have her bound at all, and if so, in what materials? I'd also like to point out that I have yet to stamp your borrower's ticket, and that my wives are not normally on open access without my permission.
Well, Dr. Patterson, I should like to point out that you have callously abandoned Jane. A woman on her own needs care and protection.
Care and protection? What, against dry rot, the rapacious Russian hordes? You're a neighbour, Cuthbertson. I'm obliged not to lust after your oxen, and you're obliged to keep your beadies off my wife.
That is an unwarranted assertion, Patterson. The relationship between Jane and myself is, at present, in no way a physical one.
At present? What are you doing, feeding her on nettle soup to fatten her up for the slaughter? I should warn you. If you have any designs on my wife, I've studied karate. Not actually done it, of course. After all, I am an academic. But the other day, with a sharp blow of my hand, I very nearly dented a beer can.
Shh! Yourself. I'm afraid I shall have to insist that you leave the library, Dr. Patterson. This is disturbing the other readers.
No, it's not. They're enjoying it. Suppose I don't.
Then I'm afraid I shall have to resort to the most extreme action. If you don't go at once, I shall have no alternative but to tear up your library card.
I see. And if that fails, it's cruise missiles, is it?
I should also tell you that I have a message from your wife. She says that she does not wish to see you again, that you are not to bother her, and that you would be well advised to make other arrangements.
Oh, she said that, did she? Well, in that case, perhaps you'd take back a brief and hasty reply. It's not hard to commit to memory. Just sod off. Do you think you can remember that? Sod off.
Shh.
Oh, and thank you, dear.
What?
Sorry to interrupt your knitting.
Come in.
Well, well, if it isn't Andrew Patterson. You look as if you slept in those clothes. Who's your tailor? Coco the Clown?
Hello, Melissa.
What's this, Patterson? Post-coitum tristis? I didn't know it was supposed to last this long, except in Sweden.
I like the tracksuit.
Yes, it's Pesco. I was just going for my jog, actually. I always jog 5 miles a day. I used to jog all over Manhattan when I was in the States.
Jog in Manhattan? Didn't you get mugged? Oh, I suppose you were going too fast.
Well, I did get mugged sometimes, actually, but only by other joggers.
Melissa, can we sit down for a moment? I've got to talk to you.
You know how it is. If you miss a day's jogging, the muscles go. Can't we leave it till tomorrow?
It's very important.
Well, okay. Get your plimsolls on. Come and trot alongside. Let's go for a gold. Patterson, you can jog faster than that.
Oh.
What was it you wanted to say to me?
Well, Melissa, last night, after dinner, when we lay at your flat on the bed, you said it was fair, when you have an affair, to be frank, tell the truth. So you said?
That's right, Patterson.
Well, Melissa, last night, when I left you, I went home to my wife, as you knew, and I didn't conceal the results of our meal.
I see, Patterson.
When she asked what I'd done, I said you.
I see.
Well, Melissa, she took it quite badly, threw me out in the street with a cat. I've no house and no bed, and no place for my head. Can I come back with you to your flat?
Oh, Patterson. This is an important day in your life, isn't it? You're coming of age. You've passed your adultery exams.
In some countries, they stone you to death for it. Scotland is one.
Okay, Patterson. I don't have an ongoing living in person at the moment. I think I can find you somewhere to lay your head. But you'll have to sing for your supper.
I'm sorry, Melissa. I tried.
And failed. Well, you've got all night. You can try again, as they say in the Scouts.
Is that what our Kayla meant?
Look, Melissa, do you think it's possible that jogging and sex are not compatible? That people are just going to have to choose?
Well, we've already seen where your vote's gone, haven't we? Hey, come on, Patterson.
What?
You're nodding off. No, nobody goes to sleep in my bed.
Oh, Melissa, I'm sorry. I'm just...
One eye's closing again. Come on, Patterson.
Right, right.
Relate to me. Act on your inner impulse.
All right, look, Melissa, if you'd spent a sleepless night on Victor's living room couch trying 100 different positions...
No, I've been through all that hassle with Victor, too. How was he?
Do you know what I could do with right now?
Hmm?
A cup of tea.
What did you say? You could do with what?
With a cup of tea.
You could do what with a cup of tea?
Drink it.
Oh, I see. I thought you wanted a mistress, but you wanted a waitress. Out you go, Patterson. Back to the gutter where you belong.
No, Melissa, please. I'm sorry. I'm just not at my best just now.
Oh, there is something better, is there?
Well, look at my life. My wife's kicked me out on the street. My house, in which I've invested all my mortgage, has been taken over by an organic librarian who is probably at this moment smearing yogurt all over Jane and licking it off again.
Mm.
I moved in with you, which is nice, but now I'll probably lose my job because our lunatic professor is having a clampdown on fornication. And tomorrow I have to give a public lecture introduced by the Vice-Chancellor on a topic I know absolutely nothing about.
And you're no longer able, how shall we put it, to blow out the candles on the birthday cake.
Well, is there any wonder with problems like mine?
Oh, Patterson, look at you. You go around in all those old suits that look like Harold Macmillan's cast-offs. Your hair looks as though it's been cut with a Black and Decker hedge trimmer. Come out of the closet, Patterson. You've been there too long.
What's wrong with the closet?
You need restructuring, Patterson. Grow a moustache. Kit yourself out in the fun boutiques. Get your ear pierced and wear a single gold earring. Now then, starting at the beginning, see that bookcase by the bed? See a book there called The Joy of Sex by Alex Comfort?
A well-chosen pseudonym, I take it.
Got it? Okay, start studying. Look through and see if you can find anything that you like.
Where are you going, Melissa?
I'm going to make you a cup of tea. You see, Patterson, Mama cares. Just lie quite still and get your strength back.
Oh.
I'll be back in a minute. Love a boy.
Oh.
Oh, Patterson, oh. There you are. They're all worrying about whether you're here. Have you got your lecture ready?
Mm.
Hey, you haven't shaved.
I'm growing a moustache, Victor.
Are you sure it's all right to give an inaugural lecture in proletarian chic overalls with a sign all over your front saying castrate male priests?
I've moved in with Melissa. She bought me some new clothes.
Melissa, eh? I've been trying for her all these years. You just walk in like that. I don't know how you do it, Patterson. Have you written your lecture?
No, Victor. I've been too tired to write my lecture.
Oh, yes, demanding, is she, Melissa?
Oh, an assault course in every sense of the word.
What have you done about the lecture, then?
Well, Victor, I've ripped off T.S. Eliot's essay on Milton. You said no one round here had ever heard of Eliot.
Oh, Patterson, a bit dangerous, isn't it? With the Vice-Chancellor and Misty there and the Lord Mayor and his dog.
I've no choice, Victor.
There you are, Dr. Patterson.
Good evening, Probity.
You'll be honoured to hear, sir, that the Vice-Chancellor's kindly consented to offer you a glass of sherry in the anteroom before he introduces your inaugural. This way, sir, and Mr. Evans.
Just a moment, Probity. Have you looked at the audience? Are there many there?
No, not many, sir. 5, I'd say, on a rough estimate. Most of the faculty have gone to the wine tasting in the senior common room. You know how they are, sir. Most of them would crawl across broken glass for a free drink, wouldn't they, sir? In here.
Is this the chap?
Is that you, Patterson? Yeah. You look quite different.
I know this man. This is the man who was on fire. He came to our party, and then the next thing he was on fire.
tonight, though he's not on fire.
I was just wondering how I should introduce you, Patterson. I gathered you were educated in Germany.
I also.
And are a Milton expert.
Also, tell them about the fire. This is very interesting.
You are ready, I trust. We go on in 5 minutes. You don't want to just pop into the...
Yes, I hear I will just go make myself comfortable.
Where does this man pop to now?
He's just gone to the lavatory, Zenobia.
Oh, you know, Professor Misty, this reminds me of a story.
Oh, yes?
You know, I'm once a very great opera singer. Once I'm in Aida. It is a gala performance at the Vienna Opera House. Of course, you've heard of this place.
Vienna? Isn't there a big river there? The Amazon?
Ah, do you remember his famous song, The Blue Amazon? Oh, no, it is not. You're a fool. Your mind is not good.
Well, no.
So, here's a performance at the Vienna Opera House in Austria, yeah?
Yeah.
There is an aria very famous. You British are so provincial, you will not have heard of it.
Oh,
I shall sing it with a very famous tenor. Ach, you're so ignorant, you will not have heard of him either.
No.
In the boxes, archdukes and princelings. Ah, she's so fine, they say, looking in the opera glasses. I am on the stage, my dress cut down to my bosoms. Oh. The best orchestra of the world, you will not have heard of it, performs below me. I strike my chord.
Oh, really?
Then there's a sign from the wings. This very famous tenor, he's jammed in the toilet.
I wonder. Probity, just make sure Patterson's all right.
My goodness, what on earth did you do?
Oh, what could I do? There were archdukes and princelings there. Of course, I sang. And then, somewhere from the back of the building, this fine tenor voice rose. He'd heard me. And so, from the toilet of the Vienna Opera House, came one of the finest performances that discriminating audience had ever heard. They were in ecstasy.
Excuse me, sir.
So fine was it that ever after we kept it that way.
What is it, Probity? Can't you see my wife is reminiscing?
It's Dr. Patterson, sir. I can't wake him.
What do you mean? The man's fallen asleep.
Right off, sir. In the men's convenience.
Well, wake him then. He's on now.
I've tried, sir. I can't. He just stirs a little when you attempt to rouse him and says, get off me, Melissa.
He has had a very tiring time lately, Vice-Chancellor.
What are we going to do, man? The Lord Mayor's sitting, waiting out there, and the Bishop.
I do have a suggestion, sir. I did manage to retrieve the lecture from Dr. Patterson's sleep-in form. If one of those here could deliver it.
Excellent, Probity.
Oh, not me, sir.
And I'll have a word with Patterson later.
My name is Probity, and I would just like to welcome you to our university, justly renowned for the standard of its portering and stewarding. Since our lecturer is unavoidably detained, I've been detailed to read to this distinguished audience his lecture. It is entitled Lycidas by T.S. Eliot.
Oh, grief, Patterson, you didn't just photocopy it.
While it must be admitted that Milton is a very great poet indeed,
Psst.
It is something of a puzzle to decide.
Find Patterson Jones and bring him to me.
In that episode of Patterson, you heard Louis Fyander as Patterson, with Richard Vernon as Professor Misty, Maureen Lipman as Melissa, Hugh Thomas as Victor, Richard O'Callaghan as Cuthbertson, Jack May as Probity, Irene Prador as Mrs. Vice-Chancellor, Maggie Steed as Amy Spade, Francis Jeter as Mary, Tariq Yunus as Banerjee, and John Barron as the Vice-Chancellor. Patterson is written by Malcolm Bradbury and Christopher Bigsby, and the program is produced by Geoffrey Perriott.